Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I want to invite to break the bread of life to us. A man of rare mysteries, a man of rare understanding, a man who carries not just an apostolic mandate, but a very strong prophetic oil. And tonight, I don't know the dimension God wants to use him, but I'm going to ask you with Jesus' joy to please rise on your feet to receive. He left his meeting to be here tonight. Please, with Jesus' joy, receive. None other but Apostle Ofodile Ezimiro. Come on, House on the Rock. Is that all you can do for my covenant brother?
Praise the Lord. There are two things that Pastor Ed missed in this introduction. Number one, this is my church in Enugu, though you don't see me all the time because of the nature of what I do. But this is actually my church in Enugu. So I'm a member of House on the Rock. Praise the Lord. Number two, he calls me his friend, but he's my pastor. I'm accountable to him, and he knows that. And so it's a joy to be home. I can't tell my pastor no. Neither can I tell my church no. Actually, when I leave here, I'm going for my meeting, finish my meeting. Then I'm going to keep another covenant relationship. Pastor Oral, I still have a night vigil this night. Now, I made this covenant for you to know that's what covenant is all about. It's about sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm first going to talk to you as a watchman. I'm going to be very instructional this night. I am happy that I understand the ministry of those I am ministering together with. I know our beloved sister who has come as a foreigner. I know her very well. And the young man, the flame of fire that God is raising in Nigeria, and the person that is going to minister right after me. So I'm going to leave them to, you know, they're enough to bring down any mountain. So what I will do is to leave you with some substance instructions from the altar, from the place of the watchman, because my greatest identity is that I'm a watchman. Praise the Lord. So I'd like you to sit down today, first of all. Unlike the usual time, we'll stand for like 4 or 5 hours first. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, let me first tell you the agenda. Every year and every season has what you can call a head, an intent of God. Now, there are two names you need to know God by this year. One is the Eternal Father, the Eternal One, the God of eternity, because this is the year of eternity on earth. It's the year of the jealousy of God. Let's look at, let me shock you a little bit. Now, let me call it, for some it might not be a shock, but for many of you, it might be. Exodus 34, verse 14. Exodus 34, verse 14. Where's the young girl that ministered today, that you were the leader? God bless you. I have a gift for you. She was on fire. The presence was evident. Nothing to struggle about. God bless you. And this year, God will enlarge you on every side. Exodus 34, verse number 14. Anyone, is a screen, or do you want me to read from my Bible? Exodus 34, 14. Or someone can read for me.
Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we praise you,
Lord. Lord, we praise you.
Oh, Lord, we praise you,
Lord. Lord, we praise you.
Oh, Lord, we praise you, worship no other God. For the Lord whose name, please take note. For the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. That's different from all the quotations who know that the Lord our God is a jealous God. He's not just a jealous God. Jealousy is his name. Now, because this is a 2006, the year of six is the year of man, is the year of Eden. You want to unravel this year, you need to go back to Adam. You need to go back to Adam, go back to the serpent, and go back to God. And that's why this year you must beware of witchcraft. You must be careful. I can't teach on witchcraft. Yeah. But that's what I've been teaching my people. Be very careful. Don't rush. Just be very careful. But the area I want to show you is this name. The Lord God is jealous. Today, I set the dominion of that name over your life. Now, notice, when he introduced himself as a jealous God, he was connected to idols. Are you understanding me? Today, I ask God as a jealous God to find you where anything that is called an idol is, and let God judge that idol. Why am I talking to you? I was praying in Ghana for the year. Just praying, you know. And I saw the heavens open. And I saw angels coming down from the heavens like a Jacob ladder. And when I saw the angels coming down, they had a name written on their foreheads. And the name was Jealousy. And I asked, I said, Lord, what is this? He said, my son, that is part of my head spirits that work in the year. Then he brought me to the revelation of this scripture. He said, son, you all just call me a jealous God, but actually my name is Jealous. So those spirits you see are the spirits that are connected to my name. And I said, Lord, but why are you sending jealous spirits? He said, because it's the year of man. Satan didn't create man. I am the one that created man and put man on earth. So this year, I am going to be jealous over man. I am coming down as a jealous God. And you know why he's coming as a jealous God? He's coming as a jealous God to restore you to as he was in eternity. Oh my God. I repeat. You see, please don't be angry with me. You know I'm a watchman. I have my language with God as a watchman. You see, Jeremiah, this is like a Jeremiah 1 year. He said, before you were born, I knew. So if God knew you before you came to the earth, it means you started existing in eternity. So, you know, if I want to speak, you know, normal English, I can actually say that you are an alien from heaven, planted on the earth. And then he said to him, before you were born, I knew you. I didn't only know you, I knew the purpose of why, what you were ordained for. And the Lord said to me, he said, my son, I am going to be jealous over men. And my jealousy is to restore them to as it was in heaven. So that is the assignment of the Godhead this year. And when he said that to me, he said, my son, do you not know each man is an oath? And every oath is bound to a covenant. He said, I'm going to chase my people this year. But then he warned me. He said, in the same way I'm coming back for my people. He said, remember, it's the year of number 6. He said, beware of the warfare of Eden. So this year is a year of war. The spirit world is going to come, is going to rush man on earth. The world will never remain the same. Now hear me. Number 2. So, okay, let me summarize this one I just said. So, he is a jealous God. He's coming down in his jealousy. And as he comes down, he will open the book. He will look at you. When I created him, he wasn't supposed to be wearing glass. I don't know how he started wearing glass. Okay, you spirits that serve me, go. Remove the glass and give him back the eyes he was supposed to have so he won't wear glass. God is going to be jealous for your purpose. That's the mind and the agenda of God. And that's why I love the team this year. Notice, it says, behold, it's an announcement. I do a new thing. He's giving them information. And he says, shall you not know it? For it shall spring forth. Now, but note that before that, that verse 19, let's read that scripture as the multimedia. Is it possible to screen scriptures today for me? Okay. Yeah. Now, can you take it just one step backward? Because I'm entering the realm of instruction and direction. How does it happen? I want to show you how it happens from the heavens so that you will know how to pray. Because the way John prayed with his disciples was not enough for the disciples of Jesus. Jesus taught them anyway, every year has a mind. And every year, because each year has a mind and an intention, when you connect with the mind of God, you need to speak the language of the season and you will not toil. And I declare you will not toil. That's why I'm saying I will be very instructional. Now, he said, remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Then he gets to the theme of the meeting. Let's read the theme now. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So meeting the part of the new thing he's about to do is one of the reasons why he's coming to do it is to bring you out of the wilderness. Is to bring you out of the waterless pit. So in each time of a new thing, there has to be a separation from the old. It's the pattern of heaven. Now, why have I said this to you? Because of time, I will make you be Bavarians today. I will quote the scriptures. Are you hearing me? I will tell you when you go back, look at Exodus this to this. If you like, don't go and check it. And I'll tell you the story so I can cover some miles. Do you understand me? Now let me show you the pattern. How does it work? Each time God wants to do something new. Does it just happen? How does it happen from the heavens? Now, how many of you remember Moses? In Exodus chapter 3, the Lord came to Moses, the burning bush encounter. And God told him, I have remembered, I hear the cry of my people. And I remembered my covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why the church must not play with the covenant. Your covenant is part of your history. Your covenant influences the spirit world. Amazingly, God didn't hear them because of their cry. God heard their cry through the covenant of their fathers. Are you hearing me? Now, but when he came down, he said, Moses, God told Moses great things he was going to do with Moses. But something strange, the man, he said, oh, by you I will save Israel. Then God wanted to kill him. It's confusing. Please, are you hearing me? I come to you. I tell you all the great things. Then the next moment, this same me, I want to kill you. Won't you call me an enemy? But what happened? A priestess in the name of the wife did what? Carried out a sacrifice immediately and called him a bloody man. He circumcised, carried out a threw an offering at the Lord, and the Lord restrained. Can I tell you something? God can announce a new thing if you don't follow the due order. You will just hear it as news, but you won't get it. So how do you trap the mind of God for a season? That's what I want to hand over to you. So now, so that, you know, you don't build principles in the word by one example. You build principles in the word of God by repeated examples in the Bible. So there we are. And we see a great guy. His name is called Gideon. The Midianites, they were under the siege of the Midianites because they had broken the laws of God and God was angry with them. And the Midianites had come against them for 7 years and to the point that they were, that one was very funny. They will make all the money. Or rather, plant all the things. When it's time for harvest, the Midianites will come and chase them away. Such that they started hiding in caves. And Gideon was in a cave. And then a spirit of God came. He called him a mighty man. Such that when he finished, Gideon said, I don't understand this greeting you're greeting me. How can you be calling me a mighty man when I am hiding from the enemies? What is the might? And the angel told him, don't worry. Remain steadfast. Told him great things. Then the Bible records in that Judges, I think it's Judges chapter 6, you can read from 1 to 11, then go down from about 25 to 28, and it comes to him, the Bible says, that same night, God gave him an instruction close to what Zipporah did. He said, you shall arise, O Gideon, and pull down the altars of your father's house. Go back to your history. I have a plan for you. Behold, I'm about to do a new thing. But there is a priestly work and expectation that I expect you, because it's the law and the way of heaven, so that you can trap down my mind. And he said to him, take an offering in the manner of a lamb. But not just a lamb. He said it is a lamb of 7 years. Everyone say 7 years. By the way, the Midianites were also attacking them for 7 years. So seven had to answer to seven. Now, but he told him, when you take that animal, there will be two. You will use one to pull down the altars of your father. And when you pull it down, you will use the other one to do what? To raise a new altar. And the Bible says, Now, when Gideon was going, Gideon took 10 men. And he went by night out of fear. Now, the two numbers you see there, 10 and 7, are the number of Jubilee. At the end of 7 years, every man ought not to be a slave. But the day that you must sound the trumpet of the Jubilee must be on the 10th day, the Day of Atonement. Meaning, for you to walk into your Jubilee, there must be an atoning power. And part of the mystery of the atoning power was connected to the number 7 he told him to bear. So what am I saying? So that you don't call my pastor one who didn't hear. He heard. He has understood. He has made an announcement. The Lord is planning to do a new thing. But there is a responsibility. There are portions of what you ought to do. And one of the things you ought to do is to make a covenant with the Lord. I've given you two examples, but let me bring you. You see, many of us do not know. We are, you know, Adam sinned. Then Satan came. And all manner of evils began. You know, Satan came to the woman. The woman took over the man. I don't know why each time they want to do evil, they look for women. The Bible says angels came to look for women. They saw the beautiful daughters and slept with them. And they began to give birth to aberrations. They gave birth to hybrids. They were super intelligent. But do you know what? Because they were the angels that came were the fallen ones. And therefore, they taught the people perversion. They gave them wisdom, but it was perverted wisdom. And evil multiplied on the earth. Violence filled the earth. All manner of evil began to take place. And the Lord decided to wipe them all off. But the Bible says there was a man, his name was called Noah. And the name Noah, according to Genesis chapter 5, is the one who will give us comfort. Comfort from where? Comfort by reversing the curse that had taken place in the days of Eden. Hiya. So he was saved. The flood came. 40 days, 40 nights, we know it dried up. And then he stepped out. When he stepped out, what did he do? He took an offering. He raised an altar. He took an offering. Can I tell you something? Hello? Do you want to reap this new thing? You see, this thing I'm teaching you, it can never fail. Because that's the way the heavens work. You want to trap it? You want to walk in the fullness of the vision God has given to your pastor? You owe yourself a responsibility. You need to follow the due order, the due patterns of heaven. And that's why I'm giving you an example. So you won't tell me, I'm not teaching you fables. I'll bring you down to Jesus. Because some of you, when Jesus has not been mentioned, then we're not preaching. Meanwhile, Jesus says, I am the scripture. I am the word. I am the story. The whole Bible is me. Jesus is not New Testament. Moses knew him. No great man in the Old Testament didn't meet Jesus. He's an ancient one. Everybody that went, when he went to the distance, he saw Jesus. But let's leave that for another day. Now hear me, everyone. So when he comes out, remember that when he was going into the ark, the Lord had commanded him to take animals. Amazingly, the Bible identifies some animals as what? As bad animals. I don't know the criteria. But I know that when I went to the book of Revelations, there were some animals, they were called the birds, that are in the cages of Babylon. They're instruments of witchcraft. Now, but the good ones, he said, he took the bad ones in twos. But the good ones, he took them where? In sevens. God had always appointed it that good will always overwhelm evil. So when he came out, he made a sacrifice. What was the sacrifice? The Bible says he took of the good, meaning the offering he gave can be compared to the offering that Gideon gave. He gave from the sevenfold revelation. Number seven. Everyone say number seven. Shout it again. Let me tell you, this year, if this year does not deliver you to the glory of a seven, you have failed. Because it's a year of years. It's a priestly year that each man must war, make real warfare to make sure that your stake is strong so that you will not eat crumbs for the next 7 years. Please forgive me. I'm just a watchman telling you as it is in heaven how it operates. So there we are, and he pours a sacrifice of seven, and the Bible says that God couldn't resist it. Can I tell you something? Seven is a number that God can never resist. It's an invitation that God can never resist. That's why you notice that Balaam and Balak was a strange confederacy. But yet, each time they built the altar, God appeared. Have you thought about that? I repeat, the sevenfold can never fail. That's why you will notice the seventh day was the first blessed. He said all these were good. When he got to seven, he called it his own and he blessed it. One way you can sanctify yourself and set an altar over you is to follow the patterns of seven. And you will notice that God did not only turn seven to a blessed day, he turned it to a law and he turned it to a Sabbath. It carries the altar of rest and liberty. It's the number of Jubilee. Actually, every seven that gives birth to an eight is actually not an eight is a one. God counts in sevens. Once it's seven, he begins to count again. Seven is a secret number. Why am I telling you this? Because I want to leave you with instructions and directions on how you can trap the vision that God has given to your pastor so that he will be a happy man. So that you won't make him begin to think, but Lord, you told me, but this is not happening. Pastor, it's not your fault. It's because they've not kept the due order. And the church, I'm so sorry, but you will forgive me. You see, I'm becoming more worried because the world seems to are becoming more spiritual than us. Why? Religion. Like I was telling my people just yesterday, I was teaching them on the dust. How that you can't live on this earth except you learn how to control the dead. And to control the dead, you must learn how to speak to the dust. And I told them Jesus did the same. If you see me now, you see me now, I carry dust. I do like this. And I say, come, make a put down for your eye. You don't go wrong. But Jesus did it. The occult seem to understand more than you and I. Meanwhile, we're supposed to be the custodian of those secrets. That's why I'm bringing you to how it works in heaven. What you ought to do. So now listen. We're with Noah. Everyone say Noah. Shout it again. Shout it again. So when Noah gave a sevenfold offering, God was in heaven. The guy smell him. Lord, don't be angry. You know, you are our father. We can talk with you. Here with the call sometimes. We want to play with our earthly father. So say, Baba, you know you're a guy, man. God day for heaven. Smell waiting happen for earth. Say, Chineke me. Say, because of this reason, of this sevenfold mystery, I will no longer. God reversed himself. When you talk about seed time and harvest time, it was founded on the altar of seven. And to prove it, what was the response? He said, I set a rainbow. And the rainbow is seven colors. He answered him seven to seven. And note that the answer, the rainbow covenant is the head covenant. Meaning, actually, we are at the generation of the rainbow covenant. Really, if we just want to be technical in reasoning, this present generation, we are actually the sons of Noah. Because Adam had gone. We're the sons of Noah. It is Noah that began a new generation. It is Noah that set the new covenant. That's why you notice that the blessings that God gave Noah is exactly the same that he gave to Adam. So the mantle of Adam was given to Noah. We are the sons of Noah in reality. Just let's be, listen, we're talking about spiritual logic now. Who is our father? From where? Because every other one was killed. So what is the covenant that helped? That's why you notice me. I wear the rainbow very proudly. Because it is the covenant that controls the existence for the generation. Touch me. Who are you? Who born you? The rainbow will smite you. And that's why you notice that Satan wants to corrupt that and keep you away and distance you from it. But that's your sign in the heaven. It is the rainbow. When he entered that covenant of rainbow, sir, he said that the covenant is not binding only between Noah, his wife, and children. Mm-mm. He said it's binding between Noah, his wife, his children, and all the animals that came out. So when I walk in the rainbow covenant, if you like, go and make a sacrifice in a shrine against me. The animals will tell you no. Why? I am in covenant with animals. The day I die, nobody should say anybody killed me except I killed myself. And the only way I can kill myself is to keep breaking the hedge. He will be warning you, keep breaking. He will be warning you, keep breaking. Then some way, he will allow you, the serpent will bite you. Nobody should say anybody killed me except myself. But he won't like me. Rather, what he will do is that he will clean me, kill me himself, and package me home. Because I must make heaven. Say amen. Amen. I've shown you three patterns for you to trap the glory. Number one, you must raise an altar. Number two, you must put a sacrifice by which you say, be it unto me, according to the word of the Lord. And I counsel you, if you can, whatever you give, give it in seven. Take a sevenfold offering to the Lord. Now listen, let me tie this up. Let me tell you the story of Jacob. Let me now show you the practicality of it. Jacob is the son of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we're talking about the third generation, am I right? So, and he was on a journey, and he got somewhere. We're now in Genesis 28. I know the Bible. So write it down, Genesis 28. So he got there. He was tired. He put his head down and he began to sleep. And then suddenly the heavens opened. And what happened? Angels were ascending and descending. But it wasn't only angels that were ascending and descending. While the angels were ascending and descending, God was up there. And God spoke to him. He said, I'm the God of your father. I am your ancestor. I'm the God of your ancestors. Where you are is the land I have promised them. I will give it to you. The guy woke up. He said, hey, this must be the gate of heaven. Meanwhile, when you study the scriptures earlier, you will find out that it was a place his fathers had built an altar. Are you hearing me? So he says, I'm the God of your fathers. I'm going to do this for you. So he woke up. What did he do? He said, Baba, is that so? Praise the Lord. But Baba, you're the God of my father. I want you to be my God. He didn't assume. He said, I want you to be my God. Now, if you will be my God, for me to know that you're my God, this is where I'm going. Go with me. When I go, make sure I don't come back empty. Number two, make sure I don't die there. I want to see my father's land again. And then he picked up an anointing oil. And he poured it on that stone and then made God, gave God an offering by a vow. He was responding to the promise. Many of us claim promises by mouth. It doesn't work that way. It's the due order. The promise that began in Abraham, that was made perfect in Christ Jesus by the Father, was summed up in sacrificing Jesus. No sacrifice, you just eat crumbs out of the promise. I'm not teaching you, I'm not here to scam you. We've seen money. I teach you the divine ways. You know, that's why I love people like Oyedepo. You know, Oyedepo will tell you, he will tell you that prosperity does not respond to fasting, that everything has a due order. He tells you that prosperity responds to what? To substance. Born from revelation. You want to break away from poverty? You want to enjoy, behold, I do anything? You need to respond not just by words. You need to respond by your substance. To trap the spirit world. To grant you what you want. When you enter that realm, actually, you become a ruler. You dictate what goes on. So when he finished talking to him, we know this story. So we have progressed now. We have moved from Genesis 28. We know Genesis 29, Genesis 30. And then when Genesis 31, we know that what things that happened between him and Laban, he ended up becoming a polygamist. That guy too much. The man loved too much. When they gave him the wife, they didn't like. He said, okay, don't worry, I'll take her, but I'm not going. He worked for the love of his life. How many of you can wait for the woman that God told you is your wife, but she's busy right now in another man's, in a relationship? Mighty warrior, great in battle, Jehovah is your name. To follow God, get a CBO. Dr. Ogan told us yesterday, he said that when he proposed to his wife, the wife wrote him a letter. He said, thank you for the proposal, but I am very sure that this is not the Lord. He said, but because he knew, he kept praying for 2 years. Will you wait for 2 years, guy? Guy, tell me. You hear, this one will be say, you the guess. Let's forget. I know spirits can confuse us in these matters. But you know that you know that you know that God says that Ngozi is your wife. But meanwhile, you're chasing Ngozi. Ngozi is busy slapping you anyhow. And Ngozi is following somebody that is uglier than you. Which one will you follow? Will you follow Ngozi's emotion? Or will you follow that which you have known by the Spirit? For you know no man and you do no things after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Which one? Are you going to contend for the will of the Lord? He contended for 2 years. You know what he told us? He said that our beauty and you've not seen Dr. Ogan's wife. Hiya. Beautiful woman. I don't know how. Anyway, now God give her a shout. Somebody shout hallelujah. How did it happen? Bros. He said the woman went for one conference in Ibadan. And then, suddenly one pastor from there said, you fair dear, dear, why are you wasting time? Don't you know your husband is waiting for you? You better run and go to him. Now, so the girl enter motor, go find her for Port Harcourt. When she came, she was stammering. Dr. Gan said, tell me what it is. Have you agreed? He said, yes, that's how they got married. But he waited for 2 years. Can you wait even for 3 months? To follow God and his will, get a CBO. Somebody shout hallelujah. Okay, but where are we? We are in Genesis 31. So he became a polygamist and everything, and Laban kept cheating him. And then he told him he was going. He said, I don't vex at the waka. And as he was going, Laban came to him. Am I right? You remember? And when Laban came to him, Laban said, Why are you behaving like this? Please don't go. That Laban, a wicked man. Laban told him, I beg, don't go. Do you know one of the reasons why I didn't want him to go? Because Jacob was like his charm. Jacob was like the ark in the house that brought him favor. Yet you were choosing the man that brought you favor. So he said, okay, I will not go. But can we enter a deal? Jacob was too much. He lived by the ascended realm. He said, this is what we'll do. I don't want wages. My wages will be this. I will continue looking after everything. But anything that all the animals that have dots, bum, 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 is my own. But any other one that doesn't have a dot is yours. And then suddenly, the animals that were healthier, bigger, suddenly became more than the ones that were not spotted. But how did that happen? You know why I'm telling you this? Every promise has angels. And for you to trap the angels, there is a due order that angels respect. Angels are not just full of power. Sometimes, you know, the Bible says one angel killed 85,000. That's strength. They excel in strength, but they obey his word. Angels are keepers of prophecy. The year, this year, has its own peculiar angels. In the book of Psalm chapter 91, he said, the angels will bear you in the journey. The angels that know the year, you need to connect with them. And one way you can trap them is what I'm teaching you. They respond to covenant. They become the messengers of the covenant. And they respond according to that bond of sacrifice and agreement you have owed with the Lord. Once you do that, God assigns an angel to take care of you and bring you to the promised land. Angels are keepers of prophecy. They are custodians of prophecy. Angels are ordained to guide you. They are super intelligent. Now, every prophecy has both a revelational angel and a warring angel in the manner of Daniel and Michael. You need to connect with them this year, but they will respond to you when you respond to the word of the Lord by the word of the covenant through sacrifice. Ununege kwante. So there we are. How did he outwit Laban? How was the wealth of Laban transferred from the house of Laban to the house of Jacob? Now we're in Genesis 31. He says to him, he was telling the wives, because they got envious. He said, why is your father and your brothers angry with me? Is it not that he did this and did that to me and I kept quiet? But is it my fault? It's not my fault. It is the angel of Bethel where I had made a sacrifice and I made a vow. That angel came and told me what to do. He's the one that taught me animal. What do you call it? Biogeny. You know the first science of how? Oh, my head is. Genetic engineering. He was an angel. There are angels that know the way for the year. For them to work for you, you must enter a covenant with a promise. Don't just say, behold, the Lord will do anything. He say, it is well with me. We agree. But you want to get the meat of the matter. You must build an altar. You must take a sacrifice. And I feel led that you should follow the way of seven, because it was by the way of seven that the ancestral altars were brought down. Every new cycle, every 7 years, carries an altar to judge. The number seven is the number that judges the old and sets you up for the new. It's a pattern. It can't fail. These are the due. There are certain things in the Bible can never fail. And that's how I have ruled nations. I have ruled kings. I have followed the ancient ways and the ancient paths. Rewritten the calendar of cities and nations and people. These same things I teach you, my beloved. I have seen men who were condemned, ready to die. And the Lord will give an instruction and a direction. And overnight, it dissolves like nothing. Many mighty men. And today, they are the secret behind whatever you see me do. Why? Because God magnifies his secrets in my mouth before them. And therefore, magnifies me in their heart. And they take care of me. I'm a priest. This is my job. Your anointing makes a way for you. It's my anointing that will build me houses. It's my anointing that will buy me new cars. This is me. So I'm not listen to me. Everything I'm teaching you, I practice. And I've seen the fruitfulness of it. There's no year that comes that I don't give God a gift to open the year. Why? It's a law of scripture. And I operate two. Rosh Hashanah, I will give. This new year, I will give. Every new month, I give. You can never stop giving. You want to prosper? You want to enjoy the new things? You need to follow the divine order. So the angel came, showed him, taught him, he applied, and he began to outwit Laban. It has never changed. It was the same. I will bring you out of Egypt. Kill the lamb, family by family. Eat your covenant meal, but take the blood that says, bears the revelation of the meal you have eaten. Put it on your doorposts, your lintels, and then I will come. I will smite them, and I will carry you out. They left, and they left in a house of covenant. And when they got to a point, the Bible says that Pharaoh began to chase them. They got to the Red Sea, and they were afraid. And Moses cried out. And then he said to him, Oga, what did they worry you? Why are you crying? He said, move, stretch out your rod. And the Bible says that the angel, everyone say the angel. The question is this, is who was the angel? That was the angel of the covenant of the Passover. He was in the midst of the cloud of glory. He was the one driving the cloud, controlling their movement. So now the Bible says, and that angel moved forward, and once he moved forward, the tabernacle of pillar of fire by day and a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day moved forward. When he moved forward, it became light to Israel, but it became darkness. So when the Red Sea was opened, they were walking in dry land, saw the miracle. What became a miracle for them became a trap. What a mystery. But where did it begin? It began from the place of the altar and sacrifice. You want the angel, you need to follow this way to stand before you, between you and the evil of the year. Every year comes with an evil. Every year comes with a good. It is the covenant you make for the year that brings the angel to stand between you and the evil and exempt you from the evil and then guide you and bring you to the promised land. Angels were ordained to bring us to the promised land. That's why you notice that when, by the time you get to Genesis chapter 48, when the patriarch wanted to bless the children, what did he do? The Bible says, and he leaned on his covenant, and the first thing he did, he said, I bring my name upon you first, meaning an adoption took place. Then what was the next? He said, I release the angel, my angel, the angel that kept me, preserved me and fed me all through my life, I give him to you. Are you people hearing me? I'm teaching you how it works beyond the veil. In the realm of the invisible, the ascended realm, the mechanics of heaven. How does it work? When you understand these things, sometimes you don't need terrible fasting. You just need a wisdom and a way. That's why you notice the disciples said, teach us the ways of life. I'm teaching you the ways of life. The others will come. They will call down the fire on you. Because that's their calling and their election. And all of us put together will bring you to full stature for the year. So have you understood me this far? The word has gone forth. You need to respond. Let me tell you the last story. There was a man called Abram. And he made him a promise. Like God has given us a promise. He said, Abram, leave your father's house. Abram left, built an altar. And the journey began. By the time you get to Genesis 14, we've discussed this in this assembly before. By the time you get, when Genesis 12, in Genesis 13, Lot misbehaved, they separated. And in Genesis 14, they don't catch Lot, gathered around with him family. Then Abraham took men from his place. They went and they recovered Lot. On their way back, they met with a spirit who the Bible says, his beginning and end, no man knows. Meaning, though he came in human form, he was a spirit. And many times people say it was Jesus, but it wasn't Jesus. Because Jesus came in the order of Melchizedek. If he came in the order of Melchizedek, it couldn't have been him. And the Bible says that that one they met was both a king and a priest of Salem. He was the spirit that was in charge of the territory. Without being offensive, he was a territorial spirit. And until he connected with that spirit by sacrifice, he gave him and he now declared him possessor of heaven and earth. Now, we're in Genesis chapter 14 now, but we move to 15. You will notice he says, after these things, meaning 14 and 15 are related. And after these things, God came. So, meaning who came to him in Genesis 14 was not God. It was a being. Until you connect to the spirit of the land will treat you like a stranger. You want to eat the good of the year? Follow this way and follow this path. And I lie you not, you will prosper. So, how does that happen? The journey began in Genesis 15. It now says, hey, I know say you don't connect with the spirit of the land, but now maybe the Baba, bring me offerings. Divide them. While he was waiting, the Lord came. Put him to sleep on the altar and told him the future, that your children will go into bondage in Egypt. They will be there for 400 years, but they will come out. When they will come out, I will make sure they will come out with substance. They will always be, prosperity has always been part of God's plan. Are you hearing me? And then that day, the Bible says, and he made a covenant with him. He passed between the sacrifice and the bond was made. Where is your sacrifice that will trap? Behold, I do a new thing. Pastor Ed should not cajole you about this. I'm teaching you the due order. You can never assess new beginnings, new glories, just by mere confession. God might even visit you for his name's sake, but you can't get the real substance. You eat crumbs. Please, have you understood me here today? So what is my message? Don't just fast and pray. Act. Follow. The Bible was written for you and I for an example. That by it we might procure the blessings of life also. For the word of God is yea and amen. It transcends generations. The hidden things that belong to God that are revealed to you, by them you procure the blessings of life. They are like currency that you go to the market of life to buy. That's why the Bible says that they rejected knowledge. Because they rejected knowledge, I rejected them, number one. Because they rejected knowledge, they have no right to be priests. So what shall you do? I want to give you counsel. Counsel. You have a right to say no. Family by family, set out like 7 days. In those 7 days, gather your prayer desires together. And then by morning, early in the morning, before the sun rises. This year is the year of the sun. I can't talk much about that, sir. The sun will be the leader this year. Because the year of man, and the man that was created was put in the side of the sun. Are you an Igbo man? If there is anything the Igbo man should do this year is to pray for the Igbo man. If the Igbo man loses the glory of this year, I'm sorry, they will dislodge us for another cycle. It's the year of the rising sun. Learn to speak to the sun. That's what I tell my people. The things that pull us are plenty. We seem to forget that God in his wisdom declared that, okay, everybody say, time and chance happens to man. Am I right? But who, beyond man, who did God in his wisdom make the king and the gate men of time? The lights of the firmament, the sun, the moon, and the stars. If you don't understand how to rule them and ride on them, I'm sorry, they will keep stealing from you. Oga, madam, would they end time? Oh? End time, the Bible talks, say, good day like the days of Noah. We're coming to the days, it's according to the depths of the spirituality that you have that will determine what the earth will give you. I'm sorry. We're not in the years of children anymore. You only remain children in malice. You have a simple heart. You're very forgiving when men wound you. But when it comes to real matter, you need to become a man indeed. Who is a man indeed? A man indeed is the one who understands the mysteries of God. They are custodians of the hidden secrets of the kingdom. Or else, the New Age movement will finish you. They've gone. Everything written in the Bible is being fulfilled every day. So you can't afford to be a child anymore. You can't afford not to understand. Let me even ask you a question. Sun, they shine over you every day. Does it not make sense that you should try to understand the sun? You lie down under the moon and the stars. Does it not make sense that you should try to understand it? Is that not what he told Job? He said, Job, what's in the worry you? Do you know the ways of the stars? Have you understood the zodiacs? Do you know Pleiades and Orion? Do you understand the covenant and the mysteries of the morning? Do you understand the mysteries of the night that men are cut off in the night? Do you even understand the secrets of sacrifice, the place of ransom? You say, Job, do you not understand that there are secrets I've kept in the hidden place of thunder? You think all these things are just there? You say, Job, do you know how to control rain? I was having a program just a few days. It rained in Enugu. How many days ago? 3 days ago. Very heavy rain. Do you know it didn't rain in my house? Why? I was outside with women praying for Nigeria. Make it try now. Or Gadidia. I rule the heavens. Beloved, may God shine your eye. So what am I saying? My counsel, find 7 days, gather your offerings, or rather gather your prayer requests. Learn to speak to the sun early in the morning. Prophesy. Are you hearing me? Midnight. Use the midnight. Use the morning to prophesy what will be. Use the midnight to war what must not be. Hear me and understand me. At the end of the 7 days, take a major offering. If I were you, I would do sevenfold. But even if you don't want to do sevenfold, you don't understand. Please don't just bring an offering. Bring a sacrifice. and use it to enter covenant with the Lord. And then when you do that, what do you ask? Number one, you ask God to send the angels, please note, send the angels of the year to go ahead of you and carry you. That's when you can now begin to quote scripture, Psalm 91. Lord, where are the angels that know the way? Let them bear me in this year, I and my family, to ensure that no harm comes to us. Two, ask the Lord, let the lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars, as they move in their foundations, let them set a dominion that will make me to prosper. Because they influence. The Bible says in Psalm 19 that no decision takes place without these three. I'm just teaching you basic. I'm not teaching you metaphysics. I taught philosophy. I'm just teaching you Bible. Are you hearing me? It is at that time you can bring down the evil of your fathers. You say, Lord, for every new, you said the old must be dealt with. Use that sacrifice. You look at the things that you don't want to see in your life. Use it and negotiate your portion. When you finish, break bread. Anoint yourselves. Anoint the land because you don't fulfill prophecy in heaven. Then come to church and lay it at the feet of the Lord. And watch and see how the earth will begin to spring forth and bring you new things. That's my message for you, my beloved. How it works, it can never fail. For the Father to transit us to what we call and pride in so much as New Testament Christians, the Father did exactly what I taught you. And you will notice that in day he became a sacrifice at 12 midday. It was at the peak of the morning. Then all the lights went off. And at 3, he said, it is finished. The grave and everything, all creation reacted. You can control creation by sacrifice. So Pastor Ed does, and please, remember that sacrifice caused quarrel. Don't be too wise for yourself. It's like me or Fordily now. I want to give sevenfold sacrifice. And I will tell God I'm bringing 10 naira into 7. Come on now. I don't big pass that one. The Bible says, each time you appear to the Lord, you give him according to the goodness he has shown you. If I'm a millionaire, and they are asking me to bring a sevenfold offering, others can be bringing 30,000 naira. I should be bringing in millions. That's real sacrifice. Forget, will they play Wayo? Are you hearing me? According to your glory should be your measure. I'm sorry. They say give a gift. You're buying perfume. I should buy a car and give. Are you hearing me? Then if, I don't know one big Christian, this thing that we can call outside Dangote. Can somebody name one? Okay, let Tony Olumelu, for example, is in this church. And we say people should bring sevenfold offering. Me and you, they bring one million. Tony, bring 1 million. How now? It means the revelation has not caught his heart. He doesn't know what he's doing. It's his life. He said, this is life. If I bring 1 million, he should be bringing 1 billion into 7. But because we don't understand this, the church is always begging, how? And that's why we also have people who are in church and they don't prosper. It's not Pastor Ed's fault. These divine ways can never fail, my beloved. Have you all understood me here today? Is instruction very clear? That's how you trap the year. So now that you know that I've taught you, so you don't think I'm a crazy man. I've only taught you the scripture. I'm going to end in Numbers chapter 10, verse 10. But let's read it from verse number 8. The divine order, the divine pattern of heaven. If I don't pray, Edu will pray tomorrow. Pray next tomorrow. Abi? Manaku peyea. I love him. You see him? Orokbo. What's his name? Selman. The burning bush man. The one that does early morning. Jerry Eze. Are you hearing me? All those people, please watch over them. Because they are our shining light. Nothing must happen to them. They are our shining light. Watch over them in prayer. Give offerings on their behalf. Suddenly, you notice that suddenly they brought Selman to light. As if they want everybody just wanted to tear him apart. I called my pastor. I said, no, this can't happen. We went under to begin to pray. If you notice, he's died down. That's our job. I'm not born for me. I'm born for you, Ed. I'm born to make sure that the light of God is not put off on the earth. That's why I'm a watchman. They don't know me that much. Watchmen crown kings. The kings might not even know them. Tongues and tongues and tongues. Do they even know whether the guy has signed to be an eunuch? Come on. Must everything that is good be destroyed on earth? I was very grieved, and I'm happy it's beginning to die down. But for it to die down, people need to take responsibility. Learn to defend one another. Even when a brother or a sister falls, that's not enough for you to just abandon that brother and that sister. You lift this brother up in prayer. Many of us think that sex is the only sin. You wear the lie. Will you go to heaven? You that can't forgive, you're still bitter. Something that your mother did to you in trying to train you. He slapped you one can't slap that you saw stars. You're still holding it against your mother. Somebody shout hallelujah. Because I need to end the meeting according to time. I'm sure Pastor Ed is proud of me today. Because I'm closing on time. Numbers chapter 10, verse 10. You know we are growing, sir. When I'm in my own house, I can pray for 4 hours. Numbers 10:10, or 8 to 10. This is a divine principle. Never come any Sunday empty-handed. Never enter any month empty-handed. Once God makes you happy, gives you a testimony, give him a gift. When you continue like that, you will just see endless flow. Hey, this is my secret. Are you hearing me? I just got a car. The one I just drove is new. The ways of heaven. You want to live a life free of poverty? Follow the divine principles. The Bible can never fail. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout what? They didn't say during the days of Moses. It's an eternal principle of God. That's why you notice that I carry the shofar and I carry the trumpet everywhere. Why I'm a watchman? But it's a divine way. Now, let's go to the next verse. Why? When you blow, what is? And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses thee, you shall blow what? An alarm with what? The trumpet. And it shall be remembered what? Before the Lord your God, and it shall be saved from your enemy. So when you see me carry this, I know the crazy. Look for my trouble. I go write your name for floor. Blow trumpet. Say, now my enemy. Oh yeah, save him. Save me. Angels, spirits respond to sound. In our villages, there is a dance that you can't dance because the drums are for kings. If you dance it, they will wound you. But look at the one I want you. Let's stand up and end by reading this.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Ed, I love you. You're my friend. But you're my pastor. I'm going to give you a gift. It's a talit. It's a talit of Joseph. Because you will outprosper Joseph. And it's new. And as I'm giving it to him, God will give you, because the oil starts from the head. God is going to visit each one of you. The talit is a symbol of his presence. It's a symbol of the mysteries of the corners of the earth. And I'm led to give it to you. By the way, when I brought it here, that was not my plan. The plan was to use it to announce a new beginning. But as I opened, he said, give it to your brother as a cover. I don't know what is coming in the future. But when you remember this, in the day of trouble, open it, shield yourself in it, you will see the storm pass. Please, can we read the last verse together? Let's read. Also, in the day of what? And in your solemn what? And in the beginnings of your what? And so, in the beginnings of your months also can be interpreted as in the beginning of what? Your years. What shall you do? He shall blow with a trumpet over your what? Burnt offerings, and over the sacrifice of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. It's a divine principle. You don't enter a new month only by mouth. You must give at least these two offerings. They are foundational, the burnt offering and the peace offering. Meaning, if you call it a peace offering, it means that every month comes with a trouble, and by covenant of peace, the trouble will come to pass you by. Burnt offerings refer to your best. Jesus was a burnt offering through the Father. Every beginning of month is actually when you give God your best, your first fruits. First fruits are given what? Are given every month. Then, but you want to progress a little bit more. Every Sunday, you give God a first fruit, the best. And the best sanctifies the lump. It's a divine way and a divine part. I will hand over because my time is up to Pastor Ed. If he keeps you longer, it's not me. I'm on my way out. Praise the name of the Lord. But today, as I unveil this, whatever your portions are kept, today, may God's covenant with creation make them unveil it. And today, my Father, I clothe your servant and I clothe this house on the rock, my own church, to ask you, our God, that you will hide us in your presence. Like you hid Israel. And while Israel was in your presence, they lacked nothing. This church will lack nothing. These families will lack nothing. We receive and we agree with your word about a new thing. And Lord, we will bring our offerings and our sacrifices to seal it, that you might send the angels of the year that know the way to be ours. Thank you, our Father. But now I obey you. I clothe your son. And today, Lord, I decree that he will no longer by his outward eyes. I declare he's hidden in you. Now, Lord, he dwells in your tabernacle. And through him, Lord, I bring everyone under his shepherd hood into the same covering. And I prophesy and I decree today that no matter the storms that come, none of us shall be lost. Thank you, my Holy Father. Now, God, you said, like you were with Joseph, you said you will be with him. You will tabernacle over him. You will go with him everywhere. Day unto day will utter speech to his favor. Now let that which the heavens have kept secret from before the foundation of the world, that belongs to them and to this congregation, let it be given to you. I hallow you, and I hallow all the offerings that men have been putting on this altar. And I call upon the Lord as I sound the trumpet over this assembly, that the Lord will remember your sacrifices. And the Lord will send help from his sanctuary. And the Lord will hear your petitions. In the name of Jesus. Lord, remember me, oh, my own day here too. Don't pass me by. My springs are here as well. Therefore, today, open your hands. I stand in my covenant and in the revelation. And I sound the sound of your crossover, the sound by which I welcome the angels that know the way to carry you on this journey and to cause you and to cause your households to prosper. Thank you, our Father, in the name of Jesus. Unto night and day unto day will do you good. Welcome to the year of years that the God of eternity will establish you. God bless you. Amen.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.